And we can read the shloka number 60. Yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha yatato api ya api hi api. Even though he is striving, yatato, he is working hard. Kaunteya, o Kuntiputra, purushasya vipaschitaha, that man who is very wise, the man of study wisdom, vipaschit, indriyani, indriyas, sense organs, pramathini, haranti. Pramathini means like forcefully, turbulently, constant churning. Haranti, they take away. Rasabham, violently, forcefully. Manaha, mind. So even though that man is working very hard, striving very hard, but the indriyas can forcefully take his mind away towards the sense objects. That's what Hansaji also just mentioned. So it's like this. He api, in the word he is so important here. Api yatataha. So it's like this. Some big showroom, right? And some robbers go, they tie all the people and they rob the place in front of the owner. In front of the owner, in front of the landlord, they will tie them up. They can see, the landlord and the owner can see what is going on, what the robbers are doing, ransacking their shop, their home, and they cannot do anything about it because they are tied up. And robbers have a free hand. This is what it means. Ya hi api. So, while we are on this spiritual path, we are working and we are, say, somewhere in a big gathering. Our sense organs, our nose, it will smell that particular food that we like. There are a lot of foods there. We can still smell the samosa or the kachori. Our ear can hear that out of those different things which are playing, our ear can still hear that particular song that we like. Out of so many sounds. Or our eyes can see something or somebody that we like out of so many people. And it will take us there. This is what it means. He api. In front of us, while we have this control, it will take us forcefully, violently, it will take us there. They are so strong. That's what exactly Hansaji also mentioned. So, then how do we do all this control? Like, you know, the sthith prajna is fine. You know, he does all this, right? So, the shama, dama, control of senses, control of mind is so important here for us as a spiritual seeker. Because without manunasha, without controlling the mind, without vasana kshaya or killing our vasanas, it will not happen. Jivan mukti or realization is not going to happen unless these two things are attained, manunasha and vasana kshaya. And manunasha doesn't mean that killing our mind, because we need our mind to think. We need our mind to do the vivek and the discrimination. We need to kill that aspect of the mind which is doing a constant commentary on the back, I like that. Do this. Blah, 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 blah. You know, go there. That is the mind we need to kill. The constant, repetitive harassment from the mind in the background. So that is the manonasha that we need to do. So we can control the sense organs. Like again, we have to, when we do our meditation, we sit down. And then we have to remove this wrong notion, starting with that I am not this body. I am not the sense organs, the indriyas. I am not the mind. That is the way to control our sense organs. And that's why the third aspect, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, comes into play. And that has to be done repeatedly. Abhyasai, yapi kaunte. We have to do practice. The Sthit Prajna also probably has to do the practice, because all these lives of hundreds and thousands of lives, some vasanas, some creep in, and again, honestly, if somebody has the knowledge, he may or may not need to do that, but abhyas should keep on going, and that is so important. And we control the sense organs, and again, there are three aspects. We have the senses, the touch, taste, hear, smell, and the eyes, vision, right? So these, and then they see something outside, and then they will send the signal to the mind. And then we have five organs of actions, right? Hands, legs, speech, recreation, and excretion, right? So mainly it's the hands and the eyes and the speech and the legs, sorry. So the sense organs will see something, and the signal goes to mind, and then we see something, signal will go to the legs, start walking towards that. So that's the circuit. So sense organs have seen something, they've given the command to the mind. Mind will tell to the organs of action, go there, eat there, smell that. That is the circuit. So even though we have controlled our sense organs by meditation, we are sitting someplace. Our organs of action are not moving at all. Okay. What about our mind? It has a free hand. It is constantly fantasizing. Like here right now, there is nothing outside. We are having titiksha. We are sitting here. But the mind is free. Now, I wonder when this class ends, I have to go to Costco, I have to do this, I have to pick up some milk, I have to get some tissues. Mind is free to think. And mind takes off the tissue, I need one bag, two bag, one bag is enough, maybe I should get the two bags, it will cover the next month also. Maybe I don't have to go, the tissue, should I get that brand or that brand? That brand is good, maybe I will pick up the toothpaste. No, it will take from one to other. So the mind is free. How to do that? How to control the mind aspect, the manonasha? Because that's always going on. So, there are five elements, we know that. Space, air, fire, water, earth. This is created by the Lord. This is Ishvara Srashti. God has created this. And Jiva, the individual I, is also a creator. I also have a Srishti. Srishti of duality that I have created. So Ishvara Srishti is this. Jiva Srishti, this is mine. This home is mine. And this is the boundary. And this water is my. I pay the gas bill. That is, I have done that. So initially it's okay, the jiva, the student will go to the teacher, he will sit, he will get his teaching, the teacher will, there are two things, student and the teacher, the teaching is going on, eventually leading him towards oneness or non-duality. So that's one aspect of jiva srishti. But the second aspect of the jiva srishti has two aspects also. One is very strong. The anger, the greed, the likes and the dislikes. Very strong feelings we have. No strict, no scripture, no great teacher has said, have these. Nobody propounds these things, that you should have this. And then the second or a subtle aspect of the srishti is, jiva srishti is the mind is constantly fantasizing. Mind is constantly brooding upon objects, constantly dwells, attaches itself. I have to have that car. How much do I need for the car? Okay, I don't. Well, maybe I, if I had more in the stock market. Okay, how do I put? I need a good investment banker. You know, where do I get investment? I have to call my banker. My banker is not good. Maybe I'll change the bank. You know how mind jumps from one to other and another. And it just takes away our whole attention. So this mind has to be kept in control. And the only way to do that is by again coming back the sixfold qualifications and going to the nididhyasanam aspect, which is removing the wrong notion that I have about myself. Otherwise, we'll be always going from the snake to the garland to the stick or a streamlet of water on the ground. And then we'll keep on getting new sanskaras, keep on getting new vasanas, we'll have the new actions. And then we'll be enjoying all those wrong actions. And because of that, we'll get new vasanas again. So the cycle has to be broken somewhere. That's why they said, the great teachers say, do it, abhyas, abhyas. Keep the shravanam going constantly. Keep listening constantly. And then do the mananam or the removal of doubts. And then you do the meditation or nididhyasanam. Do that, remove the wrong idea about yourself. Understanding that yes, there is a world, but it is apparent, it is illusory. It will always, things will always happen which are not going to be under our control. We cannot do anything about it. We can take a pause here and take some questions and some thoughts, some ideas. Yes, please.
It is so scary when you said from jumping from the other, we never get out of this, but I think we all are so blessed that we already have the grace of God and Gurudev.
Yes.
So I think we should be trying very hard from our point because we already got those two places. Now yes. It's our thing that we have to keep on moving. And surely we should, in this birth, I think, we should be able to cut all this and say, I am just always a rope, never a snake.
Right, right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's what Bhagavan says in sixth chapter also. Like even on, if you're in, when you're in this path and something happens and because of either pramad or alasya or something, you're not able to do everything, but don't worry, if you started on this path, I will take care of you. So, yep. And this is such a great teaching, I think. You know, the way Bhagavan has talked to Arjuna, I mean, this is amazing. in one of the chapters, in a couple of chapters, he has mentioned, I'll read the shlokas, I don't remember them, so I'll just read the shlokas. It says, Ishtosi me dhrudam iti tato vakshyami te hitam. This is the 18th chapter. And in the 4th chapter, he says, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam yotad uttamam. So he's telling Arjuna, I'm telling you this great knowledge which is a secret. How does one tell this to somebody? Arjuna, I'm going to tell you this. It's a great secret. See the bonding between these two. Great friends. This is not for any Tom, Dick and Harry. This is a great knowledge which is secret. I'm going to tell this to you in your ears. When there's so much affection the Lord has for Arjuna, that they are two bodies but one soul. So this friendship aspect really, really thrills me quite a bit.
We just don't listen to him.
That's what it is. You know, if we want to understand this, we have to be his friend.
We have to be Arjuna.
Arjuna.
He's there. Yeah.
There's two big men, you know, they call each other Mahabaho. And, you know, Mahabaho, one with the long arms, and they're big. And in, I was reading in one of the things at Bhishma Parva. When Bhishma Pitama was fighting and he was just killing left and right, and then he came in front of Arjuna, and then they were fighting each other, and then Arjuna could not defeat him. So the Lord said, you know, what is this? He got him angry. He got off the ground. He was not supposed to fight. He took to go off. He will not fight. So he took the wheel of a chariot, and then he moved that, and then he ran towards Bhishma. And then Bhishma Pita said, okay, Bhagwan, Lord, you yourself have to come to kill me. Please, I'm here. I'll go to heaven. You know, what bigger thing than cat that could be? At that moment, Arjuna got down, and he had to stop him. Here, the Lord in his all his glory, the, you know, his the yellow cloth flowing, such a great sight, the author has described. And he's so strong, Arjuna had to grab his feet, and it took Arjuna 10 steps for Bhagwan to stop. Bhagwan kept on going for 10 steps towards Bhishma. He could not, Arjuna could not stop him. So strong. In fact, of all the warriors in Mahabharata, Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, Arjuna, Karna, Satyaki, these were the best archers and warriors of that time. Ashwathama, sorry, I'm forgetting. These were the best warriors. We don't hear about Krishna, Bhagwan Krishna's fight, but when he was young, when he killed Kans, when he killed Jarasandh, all those fights, they were amazing. He was very strong. He was one of the best fighters. He didn't fight. We don't hear, we don't read about all that. But the great sight of you know, him running off towards Bhishma, and then Arjuna trying to stop him, was amazing. He couldn't stop him. And it's not that, you know, they don't care, they don't launch arrows towards the Sarthi or the charioteer. They do. I mean, you know, so Bhagwan himself was getting injured. But then again, he's the Lord. So, you know, to kill the car, charioteer, the other one, you know, they do all these kind of techniques. So they have to launch arrows at the charioteer also. So that was going on. It was very amazing, you know, the way they had those all those rules laid out initially. Later on, all mayhem broke loose. But a car charioteer will fight only a car charioteer. An elephant rider will fight only an elephant rider. A walking soldier will fight only a walking soldier. They had badges, you know, identification, all those names. It was amazing the way they had laid out. I mean, it is said that when their armies were launched against each other, Yudhishthira's army was facing east side at Kurukshetra, and the Kauravas the huge army was facing west. And the army was so huge, you know, the grounds, the mountains and the lakes, and you know, it was army on both the sides. It was huge. And they had arranged like tents for their, you know, food, for their entertainment, and to keep them, to keep the soldiers busy with all the rules that, you know, these main fighters got together and they agreed, okay, these are the rules of the fight after sundown, and nobody's going to fight all these. But the whole, and it is said that in India, at that time, pretty much all the men from all over, they were fighting. So that the homes were left with just ladies and young kids. The whole, and it is not just Pandavas and Kauravas, you know, they have allies, right? Allies. So like US has allies, you know, other countries have allies. So they have allies. So the whole country was against each other. One was either with this or with the other one. There was nobody else left in the whole. And after the Mahabharata, I mean, the whole, there was not a whole lot of men left. It is amazing description, the whole landscape of the armies lined up. Plains and the mountains and around the lakes, and it was huge. How much bloodshed was happening?
Have you seen Kurukshetra?
The movie?
Have you seen it?
The movie? Oh, the land?
The land?
No, the land I have not seen.
But our imagination takes it and stretch further. That's how we see it. So depending on what we have in our minds, we can put those pictures on the poetic description. So, you know, these were the great poets.
Yeah, I mean, the point was to take the glory out of it.
Yeah, glory,
take the glory of these fighters,
yeah,
the landscape, yeah, the whole time that we had.
Even I wanted to see Kurukshetra, but there's so much bloodshed there. So we just went through it, we didn't really stop.
I think at that time maybe the boundaries were not as much. You know how the Panchala is on this side and the Hemkot.
It's a great war actually within us. It's a more figurative kind of, you know, it's really what Mahabharata is fighting within us. Same way like jihad, we have to fight within us. Jihad is not outside, it's within us. Yeah, it is. But you know, this particular stanza for me, it warns me that no matter how much knowledge I have, how much close to that supreme reality I am, there is a chance to slip off because of my violent vasanas, which draws me very closely to the, you know, even though we think I'm well controlled and all my five senses are drawn and I have enough knowledge and I think I know, nothing will attract me, but still, never know. You know, sometimes we have stories in our Puranas where, you know, the sadhus get attracted by Apsara.
Rishi Vaishampayan,
yeah,
was Vedavyasaji's disciple.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Rishi Vedavyasaji. He wrote some commentary, and then he gave it to Rishi Vaishampayan for editing. The teachers were writing stuff and then they gave it to their disciple to edit it. So he edited it in a certain different way and then the whole meaning got changed. So it was regarding the sense organs. So then, okay, Rishi Vedavyasa, he didn't say anything. You know, he's a great teacher. So one evening in the ashram, you know, it was night time and everybody was retiring and they had eaten their dinner and everything. So it was raining heavy. So everybody was in their kutiya and then trying to sleep and everything. So outside the kutiya of Rishi Vaishampayan, he heard a knock. So he went and opened it. The great Rishi, right, Vaishampayan. So he saw there was a girl standing there. She said, Maharishi, this is raining and I have nowhere to go. I don't have any protection. So can I just stand outside your kutiya? So, it's, you know, I'll just stay here and do nothing. Rishi said, yeah, that's fine. So, she stood there. And then Rishi closed the door and then he tried to sleep. Then it started raining more and more heavily. More and more. And then the water was getting towards the door. So, you know, door was getting wet. You know, there was a small veranda or something, and then the whole water kept on coming in. So Rishi thought that, you know, she is sneezing outside, you know, she is getting wet. So he said, that she was all wet. This is Vashan, this is described in the scriptures. So he said, okay, well, you know, his koti had a room and there's a small quarter, you know, like kitchen and a small quarter. So he said, okay, well, you go in there and you be there and you can stay there. Then he was in his corner. So, okay, so she goes in there and then Rishi said, stays in there. Rishi Vaishampayan. So after some time, you know, Rishi was trying to sleep. He could not sleep. He had this thought that in the next room, there's a young woman. He could not sleep. That thought kept on occurring in him. So he goes to the next room and then he touches the young lady. Young lady turns into Vedivyasa. Then Vedivyasa says, see, sense organs. This is great Rishi we are talking about. Well, not to get discouraged, but the idea is, you know, we need to keep working on this, you know, and that this is how we derive the, you know, learn from all these teaching that this is what we have to do, we have to stay on this path. Once we start liking this, then we enjoy it. So, I'm hoping I didn't bore. It was enjoyable for all of us. At least I enjoyed talking and going over the whole thing. If any other issues or, you know, ideas or comments are there?
I would have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Mahabharata, we see that it's a great strength on the Kaurava side or the Pandava side. God is going to be with us or not with us. But that's very symbolic for me as being with Mahabharata.
That's true, and we don't even have to go back as far. Every day we have this. Good person, bad person, so-called, right? And the Lord has said, I bless an evil as much as I bless a saint. My blessings are the same. It is their own vasana on how do they do it. I have not created the vasanas. You create it yourself. It is you have to come out of it. My blessings are equal for everybody. He's not partial. God can never be partial. He is always the same for everybody. It is we that out of our ignorance. See, the knowledge is there outside. Knowledge is there. But because of our ignorance, we don't know it. Like the sun is there, but I don't see the sun outside right now because the cloud is there. And that is our mala. That is our ignorance. Duryodhan said, I know this is right, but I can't do it. This is the way I think. I know I should not do this. He mentioned it. But what can I do? This is my nature. So that's where the problem comes. And that's where the practice is. And it's not that Arjuna was born in this. There have been many Krishnas and there have been many Arjunas before. So this is not this one. And again, the whole idea is what we get out of it for ourselves. On this path, I mean, there are many details, but you know, we cannot get stuck to the details. I mean, we have to take the message and the lesson. The lesson is very simply stated: if all of this is an illusion, we see it. We are not going to not see this. We will see it, but this is apparent. This is illusory because this is a transactional plane, and Lord is a paramarthic plane, absolute plane. These are two different things. These two planes can never meet each other. So unless we lift ourselves from this, like we wake up from the sleep state and see, okay, well, I saw a dream, but that I was not there. The same way. That's what's called waking up. So as soon as we wake up, we'll realize that, okay, well, this is nothing anyway. But we'll act in it like we act in a dream. We have to work. But while in this, this is the only difference. In Swapna, we cannot control, but here we can control our swabhava and vasana with the great teachings, with the grace of the Lord, with the grace of the teacher and the teachings in the scripture. And that's what has to keep us on this path. Lord is there with all of us. As we speak, you know, we all say that, you know, okay, well, the day is going good. I have a great work. I have great business. So the Lord's all Lord's blessing. Well, I'm not having a great day. I don't know why Lord is not doing this. You know, I'm not having, you know, a good success at work. Why? I think Lord is not happy with this. There's nothing like that. According to our own vasana, we say, okay, well, to our conduciveness, God is with me. And now if, when things are not good, God is not with me. God is always with me. Because of our own vasana, we categorize it. He is with me, he is not with me. He is always with us. It's up to our buddhi on how we take it, how we understand it. He is always impartial, always with us, always there. We just have to look at him and find. This is what Param Drashtva is. To realize our own true substratum. I think we have to end. Anilji will be back next week. I hope I was close to what he does. Shanti Mantra. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Hari Om.